Berufsfachschulen Baden-Württemberg, Teil 1, Hörverstehen Englisch. Haupttermin 2023.
Listening Comprehension Test. You will hear each recording twice. After each listening, you will have time to complete your answers. Task 1. You now have time to read the assignment. One.
Fast fashion is inexpensive clothing that is produced to mass market brands in response to the latest trends. Shops like Primark, H&M or ASOS produce millions of tons of clothing each year to keep up with the need to be new.
Two.
With clothing becoming so cheap, people can get a new outfit for each party. This has moved people into the habit of buying something without having to spend all of their money on it, wearing it once and then getting rid of it. 100 billion textiles end up in landfills each year.
3.
In order to save our planet, consumers have to change. When buying new clothes, they should buy from environmentally friendly brands and shop for timeless clothing. Clothes can be repaired or, if not needed anymore, be sold online or donated to charity.
4.
Fast fashion is a huge problem for the earth. It takes 2,700 liters of water to make one cotton t-shirt. On top, some materials used in the production are toxic. And last, the transport of clothing around the world via plane or ship causes massive CO2 emissions.
5.
Instagram, TikTok, and Snapchat add to the problem of overconsumption, especially among teenagers. If I see my favorite influencers wearing a new dress or a new pair of sneakers, of course I want to have that as well. I also want to represent myself in the best version online, so I have to keep up with the latest runway trends.
Now listen to the recording again. 1.
Fast fashion is inexpensive clothing that is produced to mass market brands in response to the latest trends. Shops like Primark, H&M or ASOS produce millions of tons of clothing each year to keep up with the need to be new.
2.
With clothing becoming so cheap, people can get a new outfit for each party. This has moved people into the habit of buying something without having to spend all of their money on it, wearing it once and then getting rid of it. 100 billion textiles end up in landfills each year.
3.
In order to save our planet, consumers have to change. When buying new clothes, they should buy from environmentally friendly brands and shop for timeless clothing. Clothes can be repaired or, if not needed anymore, be sold online or donated to charity.
4.
Fast fashion is a huge problem for the earth. It takes 2,700 liters of water to make one cotton t-shirt. On top, some materials used in the production are toxic. And last, the transport of clothing around the world via plane or ship causes massive CO2 emissions.
5.
Instagram, TikTok, and Snapchat add to the problem of overconsumption, especially among teenagers. If I see my favorite influencers wearing a new dress or a new pair of sneakers, of course I want to have that as well. I also want to represent myself in the best version online, so I have to keep up with the latest runway trends.
Task 2. You now have time to read the assignment.
Hello, this is Youth Radio with John and Pam. Did you have a cup of coffee this morning, Pam?
Oh, yes. I can't start the day without my morning cup of coffee, or two, or three.
And what do you like about coffee so much?
Well, that lovely smell, for one thing. And of course, it wakes me up and gets me ready to face the world. Have you ever seen how busy coffee shops are nowadays? Full of people enjoying delicious coffee from all around the world.
Well, it wasn't always like that, Pam. The first coffee to reach Britain in the 17th century took months to arrive by sea. It was made by boiling raw coffee beans and apparently tasted awful. In this program, we'll be looking into the history of coffee in Britain. The earliest coffee to arrive in Britain took its name from the port in Yemen it was shipped from, Mocha.
Britain's love affair with coffee started with the opening of London's first coffee shop in 1652. People loved that they felt more talkative and brighter. It kept them awake for longer, and coffee became more and more popular. Within a decade, over 80 new coffee shops had opened in the city of London alone.
By the 1800s, though, tea had replaced coffee as the most fashionable drink, partly because it was drunk by Queen Victoria, and partly because it became more of a working-class drink. So, there were coffee shacks and carts like these sort of little street carts that you still get in London, and you get all over New York. That is a cheap, quick drink to give you more energy and make you more active.
As far as I know, drinking coffee was also supported by a social group called the Temperance Movement, who campaigned to make alcohol illegal. They used coffee to make men gradually stop drinking alcohol, which many had become addicted to. And the Temperance Movement sponsored coffee taverns to try to stop working men from going to the pub for lunch. It declined seriously and has never fully recovered, even in the current coffee boom.
So, coffee changed British society and continues to do so today. Many customers today are turning away from large coffee chains like Starbucks in search of a more responsibly sourced cup of coffee. Sustainability has become very important to many people. One example of this is Fair Trade, an ethical standard scheme which guarantees a fair price for coffee producers in South America, Africa, and Asia. This means a shift in focus towards quality coffee made by hand, in the traditional way by skilled growers. It's this kind of coffee that's often sold in smaller, independent coffee shops preferred by hipsters.
So, coffee in Britain has come a long way from the days it traveled for months by sea, from faraway places like Ethiopia and Java. Once again, our 6 minutes up. I'm off to get myself a hot steamy mocha. Bye for now.
Goodbye.
Now listen to the recording again.
Hello, this is Youth Radio with John and Pam. Did you have a cup of coffee this morning, Pam?
Oh, yes. I can't start the day without my morning cup of coffee, or two, or three.
And what do you like about coffee so much?
Well, that lovely smell, for one thing. And of course, it wakes me up and gets me ready to face the world. Have you ever seen how busy coffee shops are nowadays? Full of people enjoying delicious coffee from all around the world.
Well, it wasn't always like that, Pam. The first coffee to reach Britain in the 17th century took months to arrive by sea. It was made by boiling raw coffee beans and apparently tasted awful. In this program, we'll be looking into the history of coffee in Britain. The earliest coffee to arrive in Britain took its name from the port in Yemen it was shipped from, Mocha.
Britain's love affair with coffee started with the opening of London's first coffee shop in 1652. People loved that they felt more talkative and brighter. It kept them awake for longer, and coffee became more and more popular. Within a decade, over 80 new coffee shops had opened in the city of London alone.
By the 1800s, though, tea had replaced coffee as the most fashionable drink, partly because it was drunk by Queen Victoria, and partly because it became more of a working-class drink. So, there were coffee shacks and carts like these sort of little street carts that you still get in London, and you get all over New York. That is a cheap, quick drink to give you more energy and make you more active.
As far as I know, drinking coffee was also supported by a social group called the Temperance Movement, who campaigned to make alcohol illegal. They used coffee to make men gradually stop drinking alcohol, which many had become addicted to. And the Temperance Movement sponsored coffee taverns to try to stop working men from going to the pub for lunch. It declined seriously and has never fully recovered, even in the current coffee boom.
So, coffee changed British society and continues to do so today. Many customers today are turning away from large coffee chains like Starbucks in search of a more responsibly sourced cup of coffee. Sustainability has become very important to many people. One example of this is Fair Trade, an ethical standard scheme which guarantees a fair price for coffee producers in South America, Africa, and Asia. This means a shift in focus towards quality coffee made by hand, in the traditional way by skilled growers. It's this kind of coffee that's often sold in smaller, independent coffee shops preferred by hipsters.
So, coffee in Britain has come a long way from the days it traveled for months by sea, from faraway places like Ethiopia and Java. Once again, our 6 minutes up. I'm off to get myself a hot, steamy mocha. Bye for now.
Goodbye.
Task 3. You now have time to read the assignment.
Every now and then, it is worth listening to your kids. That's what David King learned during the pandemic. What brought him to such a drastic measure?
Well, let's go back 20 years to when King was working as a lawyer, looking for something else in life, and he found some inspiration.
I can't say I'd always had a passion for sugar or I'd always had a passion for confectionery. It seemed like such a wonderful process.
King fell in love with making candy, opened a store named Sticky. It's in the Rocks neighborhood of Sydney. There, he and his team make hard candies.
We build one giant cylindrical, what we would call a lolly, but you guys would call a candy.
They then stretch out that giant cylinder until it's really skinny and it hardens. And then they cut it to reveal all kinds of intricate designs, from Pokemon to koalas, even ones with words in them.
The business was doing well until, boom, COVID hit. In March of 2020, there were no customers. Sticky was about to shut down.
We just thought, we've got a small social media following.
So they gave it a try, streaming the candy-making process. The first one had about 30 viewers, and as they kept posting, it grew to a couple thousand viewers.
King's daughter, Annabelle, was in her last year of high school at the time. She wanted to take it a step further. So she pestered her dad to let her make a TikTok for Sticky.
Annabelle had to convince me because I honestly didn't even know what TikTok was.
The TikToks were a hit. 2 years later, they have 6 million followers.
The support and love that gets shown to us from all over the world is just extraordinary.
Revenue has tripled since Annabelle's work launched.
And it changed her life.
I would never have made a decision to go into marketing and media if it hadn't been for the work I was already doing. It was not something that would have ever occurred to me to do.
And for David, the best part is connecting with viewers from all over the world.
People reach out all the time and tell me and us that we've saved their lives in a dark, dark time. What people have given back to us and what we've given to them has made for really, really interesting and quite powerful community.
The candy shop is bustling again. David and Annabelle King, candy and video makers from Sydney, Australia.
Now listen to the recording again.
Every now and then, it is worth listening to your kids. That's what David King learned during the pandemic. What brought him to such a drastic measure?
Well, let's go back 20 years to when King was working as a lawyer, looking for something else in life, and he found some inspiration.
I can't say I'd always had a passion for sugar or I'd always had a passion for confectionery. It was just it seemed like such a wonderful process.
King fell in love with making candy, opened a store named Sticky. It's in the Rocks neighborhood of Sydney. There, he and his team make hard candies.
We build one giant cylindrical, what we would call a lolly, but you guys would call a candy.
They then stretch out that giant cylinder until it's really skinny and it hardens. And then they cut it to reveal all kinds of intricate designs, from Pokemon to koalas, even ones with words in them.
The business was doing well until, boom, COVID hit. In March of 2020, there were no customers. Sticky was about to shut down.
We just thought, we've got a small social media following.
So they gave it a try, streaming the candy-making process. The first one had about 30 viewers, and as they kept posting, it grew to a couple thousand viewers.
King's daughter, Annabelle, was in her last year of high school at the time. She wanted to take it a step further. So she pestered her dad to let her make a TikTok for Sticky.
Annabelle had to convince me because I honestly didn't even know what TikTok was.
The TikToks were a hit. 2 years later, they have 6 million followers.
The support and love that gets shown to us from all over the world is just extraordinary.
Revenue has tripled since Annabelle's work launched.
And it changed her life.
I would never have made a decision to go into marketing and media if it hadn't been for the work I was already doing. It was not something that would have ever occurred to me to do.
And for David, the best part is connecting with viewers from all over the world.
People reach out all the time and tell me and us that we've saved their lives in a dark, dark time. What people have given back to us and what we've given to them has made for really, really interesting and quite powerful community.
The candy shop is bustling again. David and Annabelle King, candy and video makers from Sydney, Australia.
This is the end of your listening comprehension test.